Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board. There is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I'm your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. You can find my fan page, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation and check out our fan page as well, 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out the site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on here at the 110 Nation. I'm going to make sure that I thank Fit for Life. You guys can find them on Facebook, Fit for Life, or you can go to our site, www.110nationsports.com. The right-hand side, click the pretty little banner. Find a location near you, 24/7, 365. Get your gym on, clean facility, courtesy staff, everything you could possibly need or want that is Fit for Life. I also want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus. Yes, even on my trip to Ohio, we'll talk a little bit about that here in a second, I had a sports, my Carolina Sports Plus shirt. I'm very, very thankful that I had one of the sports. Happy belated birthday, as I already wished him a happy birthday this weekend. But happy belated birthday to Mario Edwards, owner of Carolina Sports Plus. I know that he went out of town. I'm not sure exactly. I know it said where he was tagged at, but I know he went out of town, so I hope he had a great time. Hope he made it back safely and all is good. Got Izzo joining us at 9:30. Hope we got lots to talk about. Lots to talk about. I tell you what, was never, I'm not going to say a real big hockey fan, as in wasn't that I had anything against hockey. I have my preferences, and you got the NFL, you got the NBA, you got the NCAA. Like, I got a lot of NASCAR. And so by the time with my full-time job, family, and all that stuff, you only get a limited amount of time. You only get so much time to watch sports, and hockey usually just didn't make the list. As my Carolina, or my Carolina, there you go, Columbus Blue Jackets went on a run and swept Tampa Bay and went against the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup playoffs, I became more and more wrapped up into watching my Blue Jackets play. Talk about that. I think Izzo got quite a kick out of my reactions and my everything during the playoffs. But anyway, yes, I decided to make a trip to Ohio. It's crazy because about noontime, it became a thought on Friday. By about 3 or 4 o'clock, it actually became a plan, and things were rearranged around work-wise so that I could pull out at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. Drove 16 hours total, 8 hours both ways, to be home for 22 hours. So, yeah, but it was well needed, well worth it, and thankful that I got an opportunity. For those that know me and have listened to the show and all my adventures over the last 3 or 4 years and are friends with me personally on Facebook, you know that I do a lot of things, and my relationship with my mother is very, very close. And enjoyed the opportunity to cook out with her and hang out with her and the youngest of our brothers on Saturday, as I hung out with them for 5-6 hours. And, of course, got up and went to church with my mom. Did what I always do when I go home. So, great message, great time. Loved it, enjoyed it. Then the other part of the time, I got to catch up with somebody that I hadn't seen or even talked to until really Thursday for about 22 years. So, had a blast, ironically. Ironically, two things. Ironically, most of the days, as you all know, I'm lucky to make it past 5, 6 o'clock if I'm off early enough, like the weekend or even weekdays, to make it to dark before I pass out. And even though I only got about 4 hours sleep on Friday night and was on the road all day long, I was wide open until 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I actually turned around and was wide open, wide awake back at 6 a.m., as my buddies used to being up, and was wide all the way until about 12:45, 1 o'clock Monday morning. But also, there was a couple people that we hung out with, but the one I hadn't talked to in 22 or 23 years, that actually happened to have been my first crush, girlfriend, so on and so forth, so far back. So ironically enough, it was a good time. Went to a couple bars and got to hang out. I felt kind of back with half the time more than half the time, because the game I think didn't start till about 7:15 on Saturday night, the Columbus Blue Jackets in Boston. So I think Izzo and I were messaging back and forth and at it until like 11 something. I was wrapped up in the game, so I felt kind of bad about that. I got home about 3:15 as we went to a couple places and went to the Waffle House, and then I got dropped off. Great time. Left North Carolina, a little bit after 7 o'clock. It was already 75 degrees of sun, and got in the great state of Ohio, and it was like 58 degrees for the high. It was a whoa. But anyway, lots happened since we were on the show last. And Golden State was up 2-0. Now it's a 2-2 game. I guess Harden's gotten over bickering and complaining about calls. Ty Lue is all but the Lakers coach at this point. I don't know if y'all saw the birthday cake to celebrate his birthday. It was a Laker cake, so a lot of people were surprised that it wasn't just went ahead and announced that he was the head coach. Obviously, there's still a few things to work out. Martin Truex won over the weekend. NASCAR went back to single car qualifying for one and a half and smaller tracks. Maybe even outside of the super speedways. I can't really remember, and I didn't get to catch a lot. I didn't want to catch any of it because I was so wrapped up in everything going on, and then driving back. I left about 2 in the morning, or 2 in the morning. I left about 2 p.m. and I got in about 10:30 at night. So didn't catch a lot of sports. Matter of fact, ironically enough, I've caught more hockey than I think I've caught anything in the first 5 months of this year. The sport that I normally watch the least amount, I have watched the most of so far this year. So, ironic. Ironic. Boston, down 3-1. Looks like we're coming to the end. Does that mean are the days of Kyrie Irving in Boston, are they done? Are we experiencing is this a failure on top of that? If this is it for Boston, is this was everything that happened and bringing Kyrie Irving and semi-disrupting what Boston had been doing in acquiring the draft picks and trying to rebuild a team, a young team, a team that was meant to win many championships. Would this be considered a failure? So a lot of things consider with this whole Boston project. Unfortunately, had disrupted everything that was going on in Cleveland. Possibly could have won another championship, even with KD going to Golden State. So you kind of chuckle with this because he leaves a situation that potentially could have, depending on what they would have done in the offseason, obviously getting the Isaiah Thomas and everything that they acquired was not a good, and we got rid of Isaiah Thomas early on. You leave a situation that you potentially could have ran for another championship, and instead you felt that you needed to be Batman instead of being Robin, and here you are potentially not even making the Eastern Conference Championship once again, or at least this year making the Eastern Conference Championship. Now, granted, Cleveland and all that obviously went south from there, but you had a chance. You didn't. And so it makes you wonder, is there any regrets? But yeah, I wonder if he had a chance to go back and do it over again, do you leave Cleveland in the situation and the opportunity to potentially win multiple championships? Does Kyrie Irving leave, or does he stay and play for potentially more championships? I don't know. We can all sit here and play the what ifs. I know this. I get this. So, blah, blah, blah.
I don't say blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the things that you come across your head when you have kids and grandkids and everything else. Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, all in, are committed to Dak Prescott and making him a long, long-time Cowboy. I agree with some of the reports that I've heard. I franchise him. I put the franchise tag on him and let it run its course a little bit longer. You're willing to throw money to a player that in his rookie season went 13-3 and then really kind of flopped. I'm not going to say flop. Flop's not really. But did perform to that level until you got to about the last eight games of the last season. Then he started to play once again at a level. So I don't know. I you're on a mission at this point to try to win a Super Bowl and finally put Dallas back into its glory, and you have an opportunity to spend money and get some critical players that you may have to pay some money for, but some critical players, because you have a running back in Ezekiel Elliott that's still on his rookie contract. You have Dak Prescott, who's still on his rookie contract. You have these young first contract players that has helped open up this opportunity for you to have the cap space to buy and get some players to make a run for a championship. As we kind of watch Cleveland now trying to do the same thing, and you know, we done watch the Rams do it and just fall short. We done watch the Eagles do it. Cleveland with Chubbs and his rookie contract and Baker Mayfield and his rookie contract, and you know, they did invest last year in Landry, but then you go out and get Kareem Hunt, and you go out and get Odell Beckham, and this has kind of become the new module on how to go about trying to win a Super Bowl. And win a championship and fill seats and bring back the spotlight to your organization. Not only to me has Dak Prescott not necessarily earned the contract that he is going to be given because of the way the market is and the way the way things are, but this is your opportunity. As I don't think that window is going to stay open that long, especially at an NFC East and consistently as good as usually all four teams are right now. You got an opportunity, Giants, kind of punch their own self in the gut and is going to. It's going to take a few more years, but the Eagles still playing at the level they're playing. Washington, that's kind of to be determined. But you got opportunity, and I your current statue, I don't see you beating the Rams. I don't see you. I don't know if they go toe-to-toe. I'd probably pick Seattle over Dallas at this point. Green Bay did some great things in the offseason. Chicago and you know, what they did and how they looked, just coming a field goal short of going farther into the playoffs. There's a lot of teams in the NFC, not to mention, well, let's talk about Kansas City. Let's talk about New England. Let's talk about what the Browns have done. Let's talk about the Steelers you can never count out. Let's talk about San Diego and how they look and what's to be expected out of them. Houston. There's a lot of teams. Indianapolis, what they won, what, the last nine or so games of the season or whatever, and going into the playoffs. Like, so there's a lot of there's a lot of other teams, a lot of other situations that makes this in my thought process as, okay, we need to look, Zach, let us get you some pieces. Let's give you the opportunity to win a championship. We'll take care of you. We're done committed. We've been very vocal about being committed to you being our long term quarterback. So let's make this run and let us compensate you after we make this season. Me, that's how I'm running with it. I'm not saying, look, Dak, let's go ahead and give you that $27, $30 million a year contract. Let's go ahead and pay you market value. But now we're not going to be able to add any pieces to make us better. And as a matter of fact, now we're not going to be able to re-sign this person or re-sign that person or, you know, No. So, obviously, if Jerry Jones is willing to be as verbal as he is about his plans for Dak Prescott and the fact that he wants to keep him, and that's their long-term plan at the quarterback position, then obviously this is going to be one of those things that they take care of the situation now versus later. And I don't know if that's the wisest of plans. That's just my thoughts. I don't know. Got an opportunity to be up in Ohio country this weekend. Can't wait for the clip. Tell you what, talking to Ohio fellow Ohioans, like, it is. Cannot wait till this NFL season. I was kind of disappointed though, being up there and sitting at the location that I was sitting at, watching the Columbus Blue Jackets play. I swear, I was the only person in the bar, and I've not lived at home for at home for 23 years now. So I was kind of disappointed that I understand I'm from the great state, and one of the big reasons I wasn't a big hockey fan or a Columbus Blue Jacket fan before is we didn't have hockey when I lived in the state. And then I'm sitting there watching, I go home and I'm sitting there watching a playoff game, for crying out loud, the first time they've ever played in May. And I swear, like, I was the only one that was wrapped up into the game and everything else. Like, I was not happy about that. I was kind of surprised and disappointed that there was not more support and more, I don't know, interest in what was going on. So I don't know. We're gonna get into that. As I got Izzo in the studios, so we're gonna plug him in. We got a lot of things to talk about. He's got a lot of things to get you guys caught up on. We'll get Izzo in the studio. Before you speak, Izzo, first thought, first reaction to the conversations and the way I have been throughout watching the Columbus Blue Jackets play in the playoffs this year.
Well, Jay, it's been an interesting playoffs, to say the least, especially since the NHL.com runs the bracket challenge where you can win $100,000. My bracket was toasted in that first round. Oh, my God. you know, with the Lightning getting swept by the Jackets, and then my Pittsburgh Penguins getting swept by the Islanders. You know, it's kind of almost reminiscent to what we saw in the NCAA tournament you know, with a lot of top teams getting ousted in that first round. You know, Tampa Bay being the President's Trophy winners as the best team of the regular season, tied an NHL record with 62 wins during the regular season with the 97 Red Wings, and then get ousted four straight games. You know, that was kind of tough to handle, really. You know, but when you look on the other spectrum, what Columbus did in that series was speed and aggression. You know, they were in their face. They didn't let them get settled. You know, they were being very aggressive on the forecheck, causing turnovers. You know, and we saw that into round two with the Boston series, you know. So it got very, very interesting, you know, as that series moved along. And it was, you know, quite a sight to see. You know, at first they were, you know, getting to Tuukka Rask, the Boston Bruins goalie and everything. You know, they were getting in his face, getting pucks down in deep, you know, getting bodies in front. And then, you know, after a while there, Boston kind of tuned in. Bergeron and Marchand got involved. Jake DeBrusque has been a big bright light for the Boston Bruins so far this season. You know, and when you look at how Boston really kind of broke down and really started playing a very, you know, almost similar to an NBA zone defense, you know, when you look at it. You know, they were challenging that blue line, not letting the Jackets to carry that puck in deep. You know, there was, as you saw, Jay, there was a lot of dumping and chasing. And, you know, it worked out in Columbus's favor, honestly. You know, if you look at that last game, that game six, you know, they hit five posts. You know, and that's very that's mm-hmm. unlucky. You know, Tuukka made some saves that, you know, probably shouldn't have been actually, you know, made. You know, some of them actually went off the crossbar, you know, after the puck hit him. So, you know, I'm thoroughly impressed with what Columbus has done, you know, with Jenner and Foligno and Panarin. And Bob Roski looked, you know, amazing in net. You know, he was making saves that, you know, he had no reason to be making, you know. So I do believe that Columbus is going to be okay. You know, if you watch the fans, they were certainly appreciative of what they saw from their Columbus Blue Jackets with that CBJ chant that they were doing. I think that's Nationwide Arena, if I remember correctly, in Columbus. But, you know, hockey has definitely grown since Columbus entered the league in 2000, 2001, I think it was, you know, all those years ago. And now that, you know, they have Matt Duchene there, they got Panarin there, you know, these are going to be the key focuses for that offseason, is trying to keep Artemi Panarin in Columbus and keeping Bob Roski in Columbus. I think this is going to be key for them right now, you know, to move along and to get even farther. You know, I just believe that they were just unlucky. You know, they just a couple bounces here and there, Jay, that's a whole different game. You know, that could have been easily a 3-1 game for Columbus in that game six the other night. So, you know, a couple key posts and some key saves by Tuukka Rask, and you know, that game could have easily just finished 1-0. You know, that's how tight of play it was. You notice that, you know, some of the penalties that, you know, were called, you know, could have been more severe. Some of the calls, you know, were, I think, a little soft in the end. You know, and it was just unfortunate, especially that hit from Charlie McAvoy on Anderson, Josh Anderson, mm-hmm. who I was glad to see come back. But McAvoy did receive a one-game suspension for that hit for the next round. So I'm surprised there wasn't more. You know, after watching that replay a couple different times at a few different angles, that could have easily been, you know, that should have been a game misconduct for targeting the head, you know, because you clearly see the shoulder making contact with the bottom part of Anderson's jawline. And, you know, he was down, and it kind of looked a little scary. So, you know, we were glad to see him come back, you know, and finish the game outright. You know, that's what a true hockey player does during playoff time. But, you know, moving forward, I do believe that Columbus, you know, made some strides, and hopefully Panarin and Bob Roski are, you know, still believers in the Blue Jackets roster, and hopefully we'll see them back, you know, for the 2019-2020 season, Jay.
Definitely looking forward to the next season. I hope all the pieces, I know there was at least one, if I remember correctly, but a couple very impactful, critical pieces that there was a lot of question whether or not they were coming back or anything next season. And so I'm hoping that this run and what this team did together is going to influence all the key parts to stay there and let Columbus kind of fine-tune what they got and make a nice run next year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, you always want to be proactive after you, you know, kind of evaluate the season. I do believe that they have a strong enough roster. They're young. You know, there's plenty of grit and experience on that team. But there's always room to, you know, plug a piece in here or there, you know, give or take, you know, whatever you're looking for. You know, I would have to say that maybe some more veteran presence on the back end on the defense might be something we could possibly see happen. You know, maybe you got Zach Werenski, who's fairly young, Seth Jones, who's still fairly young, you know, trying to get some supporting help with that defense. You know, somebody that's more defensively sound, a stay-at-home defenseman is probably going to be the best way for Columbus to move on in the future. But, you know, if you look at what they did this year, you know, almost, you know, being the top of the Metro there for a while, and then just pretty much falling off there for a couple of weeks. And then, you know, I think around February, they were not even in the playoff race, you know. And if you look at the streak that they went on at the end of the season, I think the final nine games, they went 8-1, you know, and Bob Roski had 4 shutouts. So, you know, they got hot at the right time, you know. And unfortunately, with the way the playoff brackets, you know, worked out for that second round, you know, Boston had a tough draw in Toronto, and, you know, Columbus had an even tougher draw with Tampa Bay, excuse me. So, you know, those two teams, you know, Boston has the experience. You know, they got plenty of guys still from their last cup that they won, you know, a few seasons back. You know, so, you know, all is well and all is bright in Columbus, you know, and I do believe that, you know, they're going to be pretty aggressive, you know, come free agent time. You know, I do see that Matt Duchesne's probably going to stick around for a while. You know, they have plenty of cap space to try and get Panarin and Bob Roski on a deal, you know, to stick around in Columbus. And I think that is definitely the best way. That is key priority for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Jays. They got to keep Panarin, and they have to keep Bob Roski.
All right, Boston, moving forward. One, obviously, a suspension. And the next game, obviously, that is going to be very impactful. Can Boston overcome that in their next round, if I'm not mistaken, Carolina, which I think surprised a lot of people in that position. And then let's flip over on the other side, and what do we have going on the other side, and what should we expect on the other side of this bracket?
Well, you did point out one thing. Our Carolina Hurricanes did shock a lot of people. They definitely took the grit to the Washington Capitals in that first round, who were going for their cup defense run. It didn't work out for them. You know, the Capitals took the first two games, and then Carolina just turned something on, you know. That team, that Carolina Hurricanes team, is fairly young. Peter Mrazek was playing off, you know, off his ass. Pardon my French, but he was making amazing saves left and right, Jay, shutting Ovechkin down when he could. You know, but if you look at this Carolina Hurricanes team, you know, Justin Falk, who's becoming a face of the franchise, Mr. Game 7, Justin Williams, he's been producing. You still got Jordan Staal, who's got some cup-winning experience. You know, Teuvo Teravainen, who spent a lot of time with the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, this is a fairly young, aggressive team, and they've been showing it and putting it on just like Columbus did, you know. So now they got a pretty tough draw against the Boston Bruins. I do see this game going 6 or 7. My pick, I'm going with Carolina in 7. Just the way they've been playing, I do like the way that they've really been aggressive on the forecheck. They've been scoring on even strength. Their power play's been somewhat, you know, below average. They're going to have to up their power play game going on to move on in the future if they want to get to that cup final. You know, it's been a long time since we've seen the Carolina Hurricanes in the conference finals. I do believe it's been over 10 years since they've been in a conference final. So, you know, not bad for a bunch of jerks, if you ask me, Jay. They're, you know, everybody in Carolina is, you know, sporting that we're nothing but jerks T-shirt, and they're using that as fuel for the fire. And, man, this is going to be a long, drug-out series between the Boston Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes. So, Moving over to the West right now, we got a Game 7 going on NBCSN right now. With about 4:30 left to go in the second period, the Dallas Stars are in St. Louis, taking on the Blues in Game 7. That game is tied at 1 right now. Like I said, 4:30 left to go in the second period. And then tomorrow we have a Game 7-2 as well. Also in the Western Conference, the Colorado Avalanche are going out to San Jose to take on the Sharks. Gabriel Landeskog last night won the game for the Avalanche in overtime to force a Game 7. So that game is going to kick off at 8 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. And that's what we got on tap for right now. I do expect, I see the Sharks possibly getting past Colorado. Colorado's Nathan MacKinnon hasn't really been a factor the last couple games. And if Colorado wants to win, they're going to have to try and find ways to get Nathan MacKinnon, their superstar, open in some open ice. Give him some good quality looks, right in front of the net. You don't want him shooting pucks, 30 feet out. You want to get him as close and as tight to the net as you can. You know, Martin Jones hasn't been the Martin Jones of normal, this postseason. You know, he's had some bad games here and there in the first two rounds. So Martin Jones is probably going to be the biggest factor in that Game 7 for San Jose, and it's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. I got that one circled. I can't wait to watch that one. But going back to the Stars and Blues, I am hoping for a Dallas Stars victory. These two teams do battle in the Central Division in the West, and right now it's been a slug-out, drug-out, slobber knocker. St. Louis won that Game 6 pretty handedly, 4-1, I do believe the score was. But it's been going back and forth. Key players are performing on both sides for both teams right now. And, one team dominates one game, the next game the other team dominates. So it's been back and forth pretty much in that St. Louis-Dallas game. So, with Dallas knocking out Nashville in the first round and St. Louis doing damage to Calgary and the way San Jose played against Vegas in that first round, despite all the injuries that they had too. Joe Pavelski, first game, scored the first goal off his teeth. I think he had like three teeth knocked out, one broken and one sheared, but I don't know how you necessarily shear a tooth, but Mr. Pavelski, the captain of the Sharks, managed to do it. You've probably seen him wearing a protective jawline on his helmet and everything. And he's been performing. Eric Karlsson's kind of dealing with an injury, I think. He doesn't look like himself skating out there right now, so hopefully that doesn't play a factor. He has battled injuries in the playoffs before in the past, and he's definitely a key player because he deflects a lot of pucks in that net, and he's pretty good at it. He's probably the best in the league at that, and, you definitely don't want him in front of the net all alone unchecked. So, that's going to be the big thing for Colorado is to keep Brent Burns, Eric Karlsson, and company in check when it comes to that Game 7. So, I'm pretty excited. Don't get me wrong. This is the first time that, in NHL history that both top seeds of both conferences have been knocked out in the first round. That has never happened. I've never seen that happen in my life, Jay. I've been watching hockey for a very long time. So, it was it's been, like I said, I compare it to the NCAA tournament this past year for college basketball because everybody was getting upset left and right, Even the NHL.com offered, a redo on your bracket. And even then, I couldn't even do it because my bracket was so messed up. It was, just a dumpster fire of picks that I made that were just completely wrong. And I'm just so ashamed of myself, being a hockey guy. And knowing everything that I've learned in the past, 25, 27 years that I've been around this game. So, nothing's ever a guarantee. And, teams like the Islanders and the Jackets, even though they're not in there anymore, they've come to realize that nothing is a guarantee, It's kind of unfortunate the way Carolina kind of ousted The Islanders there, Mike, if you're listening in tonight, but you know, even the Islanders, they got a lot to hang their hat on for this season. So I see Barry Trotz winning the Jack Adams Award with John Tavares, minus John Tavares in the roster. So, you know, it's been a pretty impressive season, you know, and each day that goes by I get sadder and sadder because that just means, you know, one less game of hockey, Jay. So, you know, it's been pretty interesting so far, and even with some of the coaching and GM moves that I've seen so far too, you know, since this postseason has been going on. So, you know, it's been really interesting. And speaking on that, you know, Joel Quenneville, old Blackhawks coach who was fired this past season, has been hired as a Florida Panthers coach, and the Panthers, I'm guessing, are going to be pretty aggressive in trying to add to that roster. Rumor is that they're trying to pursue Evgeny Malkin from the Penguins. So who knows what that's going to bring for the Florida Panthers. Alain Vigneault, who is a former New York Rangers coach, has been hired in Philadelphia. He replaces Dave Hasok, who just couldn't get the job done for Philly. You know, Vigneault has been to the playoffs and to a cup final before, so we're going to see what he does with the Philly roster, if they're going to shake it up a little bit. I've heard some minor talk about some moves being made. They do have some young talent, and the farm system's pretty stocked up, so looking forward to that. And one thing that I'm really reminded of is Steve Yzerman, a longtime captain of the Detroit Red Wings, who was general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, has joined his old team in Detroit as the president of hockey operations and the general manager of the Detroit Red Wings. So Ken Holland is now out, who is the former GM. He now moves out to Edmonton to take on the president of hockey operations and GM role for the Edmonton Oilers. So we're going to see what Ken Holland does with that. I am looking forward to seeing Stevie Y and what he does to revamp this roster for the Detroit Red Wings, excuse me. And, you know, if you look at the picks that he's made for Tampa Bay, Victor Hedman, Andrei Vasilevsky, Steven Stamkos, Tyler Johnson, Nikita Kucherov, these are all-star player guys. And if he has that same talent that he did in Tampa, I do believe that we could see another Stanley Cup in Hockey Town in Detroit here fairly soon, within the next couple years. So it's going to be interesting. I know everybody's happy to have Stevie Y back in Detroit. So we're probably going to see Detroit making the playoffs here pretty soon again. So I know all of our Detroit faithful fans are going to be pretty excited about that. I know my boss at my regular 9-to-5 job, he's excited to see Stevie Y come back, as am I. I was a big Red Wings fan back in the day in the late 90s when they used to show the games on ESPN and ESPN2. You know, I was always a big Red Wings fan. I loved watching them play back in the day with the Russian Five and, an elder statesman, Stevie Yzerman, Nick Lindstrom, Chris Chelios, Brendan Shanahan, Chris Osgood, you know, Darren McCarty, Chris Draper, Kurt Malpe. Those guys were, you know, legends in Detroit. So I'm pretty sure they're glad to see Yzerman come back. I do know that there have been a couple former players from them old Detroit teams that are going to be jumping on board, working with Stevie Y and developing that Detroit team into a cup contender. But, you know, it's just the most exciting time of the year. You know, you got the draft coming up after the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. So who knows? We're definitely going to have a pretty interesting conference final with the Boston and Carolina series. Carolina is going to be going up to Boston to start that series off. I do believe that series is supposed to kick off Friday. I do believe Thursday or Friday. I don't have the notes in front of me right now. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. That one's going to be on NBCSN. So all of our Carolina faithful, I'm not entirely too sure if they're still broadcasting games on the local Fox Sports channel network in North Carolina. But the games are going to be on NBCSN, 7 o'clock Eastern, Game 1, Hurricanes and Bruins. Right now we are at the end of the second period. The Stars and the Blues are still tied at 1 on NBCSN, so that's going into the third period tied. And then tomorrow, like I said, we got another Game 7. Avalanche and Sharks, they're going to do battle. I expect this one to be maybe a 1-2 goal victory for either team. It's going to be very tight, and goaltending is going to be the biggest factor in that Game 7, Jay.
Tell you what, as in conversations we have had, we all know that hockey ends up being the, kind of the last sport that I get to until this year. This, and like I was saying earlier show, I probably watched more hockey than any other sport in 2019 for one reason or another. I don't know if I could do a full season. Like I bow to you all because I know, and you read the messages. Like I think you probably found yourself rolling on the ground many times while I and my reactions and everything else during the just the playoff games. This year's playoffs and watching my Blue Jackets do what they did and accomplish what they did accomplish might have just pushed me over the edge and to become more of a hockey fan than I ever thought that I was going to be.
Yeah, you know, it's addicting, you know, and especially when you get into playoff hockey, it gets even that much more addicting, you know. So with everything that's been happening and everything, how can you, you know, it's kind of hard, you know. You know, perfect example, like I want our listeners to know that me and Jay, you know, did most of the Columbus Blue Jackets game. We were watching them together and, you know, trying to explain everything to you and what was going on. And, you know, and once you get that first taste, you know, it's like a drug, man. It's like a hardcore drug. It'll drag you in, you know. So as long as you know what's going on or, you know, you have knowledge of the game, it's fairly easy to pick up and get into. You know, how many times were you on the edge of your seat, Jay, when somebody hit a post or somebody missed a wide-open net? You know, it takes years off your life. You know, I tell people this. It takes years.
Let's go back through our conversations on Messenger, and we can know how many times I was on the edge of my seat by the MFers and the dams and everything else that I kept thinking.
Yeah, you know, I mean, multiple times, Jay, multiple times I'd see a lot of adult language being typed my way, you know, and it's like that year in and year out, man. It's so steady and consistent with that, you know, with that rush, that adrenaline rush that you get, you know, where you get the close calls and you get the pretty goals, you know. If you watch the way Columbus played, you know, they played like that for the second half of the season. And kept it consistent. You know, they hit some speed bumps here and there off ice, you know, with some issues. But, you know, Tortorella's got his finger on the pulse, you know, and I respect him a whole hell of a lot. He's been a great coach. He's a Stanley Cup winner. You know, he's taken multiple teams to the Stanley Cup final. You know, he won the cup in Tampa Bay, you know, over 10, 13 years ago, I think it was. Or, yeah, 2004, if I do remember correctly. So, you know, he's been there. He's done that, you know, and he's changed that atmosphere in Columbus for that team, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Columbus had a great team, you know, to start off with when they first brought, you know, got expanded into the league. But, you know, they had plenty of talent and Rick Nash and company, but they just didn't have the coach, you know. And I think it took them way too long to get a coach to get that ball rolling, you know. And I'd have to say within the last 7-8 years, Columbus has been steadily making strides to try and, you know, find a coach that will get them over the hump, essentially. And I think Tortorella has done that. You know, he can be a bit of a hard ass sometimes on his players, but, you know, sometimes you got to be able to reel in a player, you know, whether it's ego or, you know, somebody not wanting to be in Columbus, you know, because when you think of Columbus, the first thing you think of, Jay, it's Ohio State. You know, Ohio State,
mm-hmm.
anything reigns yeah. true in Columbus and in Ohio in general, you know, being from
yeah,
Western Pennsylvania.
Even in the whole state, even with two football teams and the Cavaliers and two baseball teams, it's still the Buckeyes and everything after that.
Exactly, you know, and I mean, I grew up in that kind of, in that general area too, and, you know, you got your Ohio State faithful no matter what. So, you know, and with the atmosphere that you get from them Jackets games, if you watch most of their home games, everybody was standing in the stands. You know, you didn't really see anybody sitting down, and they were getting into it, you know, and the CBJ chants and, you know, everybody
mm-hmm.
cheering for Bob Roski to stay, you know, even though he's been there for 9 years now, you know, they like what they see. They got a good product there, and they're trying to make it work. And, you know, Columbus to me is one of those teams that, you know, they're just right there. You know, they're just peeking over, you know, the edge of that, the top of the mountain, the peak of the mountain, you know. And pretty soon it's gonna roll into something really good. You know, they're trying to build up the farm system. They're trying to acquire draft picks. They're trying to acquire, you know, some top talent, you know, top six talent, top four talent when it comes to defense. You know, and they've done that. You know, they've made the postseason, you know, a few times in the last, you know, 5-6 years, and they've been really turning it on ever since Tortorella came. So, you know, every once in a while you get one of those coaches that comes in and can just change the atmosphere. I saw it with Mike Johnson or Mike Sullivan for the Penguins when he got brought in during Pittsburgh's first Cup in 2016 of their back-to-back. You saw the same thing with Quenneville when he took over the Blackhawks way back in the late 2010 season. You know, during their 3 Stanley Cups, he changed the atmosphere and brought Chicago Pride back. You know, we've seen it time and time again. Even Gerard Gallant in Vegas. You know, who would have thought an expansion team would have made the Cup final last year and then make it, you know, to the playoffs again this year, especially, you know, after the moves that they made. So, you know, you see that every once in a while where a coach can come in and just change that atmosphere. You know, we don't necessarily see it all the time in sports, but, you know, it's just something that, you know, a lot of people, there are a lot of good coaches, but there are very few great coaches. And, you know, Tortorella is probably one of those great coaches, Jay.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. Once again, for those that missed earlier, one, update on tonight's game, and then B, the games we got coming up in the immediate next couple of days as we get things wrapped up.
Yeah, well, like I said, we got Game 7 tomorrow, Sharks and Avalanche. That one's going to be on NBCSN. We got Game 1 between our Carolina Hurricanes and the Boston Bruins. So all of our Carolina faithful listeners back there, tune in tomorrow night, 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern, I do believe it was. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting series. They are going to be starting up at TD Gardens up in Boston. And, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting. I do know Peter Mrazek is still day-to-day with a lower body injury right now. So they're probably going to end up having Curtis McElhaney in net for them, who is the oldest goaltender to start an NHL playoff game as of right now for actives and everything. So, you know, he's been playing pretty good. So I think Carolina's got a lot of confidence in themselves. The Bruins also have a lot of confidence in themselves in the way they're playing right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And then after that, we're going to find out who's going to be in the Western Conference Finals, at least one team after tonight. And then tomorrow we'll find out who's going to join Dallas or St. Louis in that Western Conference Final. And, boy, either way, man, no matter which team wins, whether it's Dallas or St. Louis or, you know, whether it's San Jose and Colorado in the Western Finals, it's going to be a slobber knocker. So we're not going to have any repeat champions this year, Jay. You know, hopefully Carolina can keep up that streak and keep the Stanley Cup in the Metro Division and, you know, make it 4 years in a row where the Metro's the Stanley Cup champion.
Most definitely. Being down here in Carolina for 23 years, I'm not going to say cheer for them, but I'm going to at least watch them. So make sure you send me a reminder when that game is on, and we'll continue. I won't be as emotionally involved, and you won't get the MFers and the dams and all the other stuff that I kept sending. We'll definitely talk throughout the game, so make sure that you hit me up so we can continue what we've been doing throughout the playoffs. Definitely want to thank you for coming on, Izzo. We got a lot of things to catch up on otherwise. I'll catch you up on some more stuff, too. So we'll definitely get caught up next week, same time. Looking forward to catching up on where we are in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Until then, you enjoy your night, sir.
Thank you very much. And this time next week, we'll be in conference final mode, and we're not too far away from Lord Stanley's dance. And we'll talk to you guys next Tuesday night.
Oh, great. Great times with him. I cannot express how much fun I had talking back and forth with him during the playoffs. And like I said, I'm going to watch the Hurricanes. I'm not going to say necessarily cheer because we all know I have a love for one team, and that's it, regardless of what sport it is. It's my Blue Jackets, my Cavaliers, my Indians, my Browns, my Buckeyes. I hate every other team, so you can't. Can't find myself cheering anybody else on, but I will at least sit and enjoy some hockey and be able to enjoy that with Izzo. Once again, I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and Fit for Life. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow, so I want to make sure that I thank them. Don't forget to follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Also, check out our site, www.110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Tomorrow night, right here, back on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network, the 110 Nation Sports Show, 9 o'clock. Got a lot of things that I'm going to jump into and talk about, so looking forward to that. So then.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports.